Shalom.
Hello. We're reading in the writings of Rabash. What is return, O Israel, unto the Lord your God in the work? You can ask questions on Kab.tv. Selected questions related to the studied materials will be asked during the lesson.
The
writings of Rabash, article, What is return, O Israel, unto the Lord your God in the work? The writing says, Return, O Israel, unto the Lord your God, for you have failed in your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say unto him, Remove all iniquity and take good, and we will pay with the fruit of our lips. We should understand the connection, for it is implied that since you have failed in iniquity, therefore return to the Lord your God. Also, what is, say unto him, remove all iniquity. And we should also understand what our sages said. Great is repentance, for it reaches unto the throne, as it was said unto the Lord your God. It is known that in the work we should make two discernments. One, that which pertains to the general public. Their work is in practice, and they do not work on the intention, meaning to aim that it will be in order to bestow. For this reason, in terms of practice, everyone more or less thinks that they are fine. Each one believes that it is impossible to be a perfect human being. So, in general, he thinks that he is complete. And when he looks at his friends, he sees their faults, that they are not all right. He, on the other hand, is fine. Although he is lacking something, he excuses himself with the verse, There is not a righteous man on the earth who will do good and will not sin. Therefore, he has faults as well. And he is careful with the quality of lowliness. As our sages said, be very, very humble. Although he sees that he is higher than the rest of the people, he has faith in the sages and believes, above reason, that he, too, is probably lowly, meaning that he is worse than the rest of the people. However, to him, this is faith above reason. It follows, when those who belong to the general public engage in Torah, they cannot feel that they have iniquities or that they are worse than other people. Rather, in general, they are happy with their work. Therefore, come the month of Elul, the last month in the Hebrew calendar, and the 10 penitentiary days, which is the time to make repentance, they have a lot of work to find iniquities within them on which they must repent. Otherwise, they might be judged in the courthouse of above and could be punished for their actions. They understand that it is possible that the reward that they think they deserve might not happen, meaning that they will be rewarded less. But punishments? This is out of the question, since they know about themselves that they have much Torah and many mitzvot, commandments or good deeds. Conversely, those who work in the individual manner, who want to be rewarded with dvekut, adhesion with the Creator, and who understand that the Torah and mitzvot they are observing are merely in the form of 613 counsels by which to adhere to the Creator, meaning so they will have only one concern, how to bring contentment to the Maker and to have no concern for themselves. The body certainly resists this and presents just arguments why what it says is correct. It begins to present him with evidence from the whole world that no one is walking on such a path of annulling the will to receive for oneself and working only for the sake of the Creator. That person wants to overcome the iniquities that the will to receive brings him, thoughts that contradict faith. which is Pharaoh's argument, who said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" It follows that the person failed in the iniquity of heresy. The more a person strengthens, the more it comes and prevails over the person. That is, as much as one wants to believe that the Creator watches over the world in a manner of good and doing good, the body shows him the opposite. Naturally, he is always failing, and he sees that this is endless, and he is in ascents and descents, and does not know what to do against it. The writing says about this, "Return, O Israel, unto the Lord your God." And why must it be unto the Lord your God? It is because you have failed in your iniquity. That is, since you have failed in your iniquity, meaning the iniquity of faith, and now you feel that you are the lowliest person in the world, since the thoughts and desires that you have are the lowest in the world, and you feel that you are utterly removed from spirituality. In other words, the seculars do not say that they are far from spirituality because they do not even believe that there is spirituality in the world. The same goes for the religious who believe in Torah and Mitzvot. They do not feel that they are removed, since each one feels that he is more or less fine. And if they see some faults in themselves, they are certain to have an excuse for it. And especially a person sees that the whole world leads a tranquil life, while he is in a state where he is full of failures and iniquities, and he sees no way out of that state. Therefore, he has no other counsel besides, "Return, O Israel." A person must return to the Creator and not retreat from him until he is rewarded with the Creator being your God. That is, until he is rewarded with complete faith. Otherwise, he will remain in the failures. For this reason, a person must try to do all that he can until there is mercy on him from above, and he is given the power called the will to bestow. According to the above, we can understand what is written, "Take with you words." That is, these words that the body speaks to you and claims that it is not worthwhile to work for the sake of the Creator, take these words when you return to the Creator. Say to him, "Remove all iniquity." Since these words that the body tells us, we cannot overcome. Take these words when you return to the Creator. It says, "All," because only you are Almighty. You can give us a second nature called will to bestow. You will remove the iniquity, meaning that you can accept our iniquity and correct it. For only you are the carrier of our iniquity, while we are completely powerless. However, we believe that all those words that the body speaks to us, you gave it these words, and you must have sent them to us, and it is certainly for our best. Therefore, say unto him, "Remove all iniquity and take good." That is, take this good that you have sent us. In other words, those words that the body argued against the Creator, you must give another nature called will to bestow. For otherwise we are lost, since we are full of failures. This is the meaning of the words, and we will pay with the fruit of our lips. We want that where we are, instead of our lips, where lips is considered the end of the matter, meaning outside of Kedusha, holiness. Therefore, since we are outside of Kedusha because of our desires, we ask you to pay with the fruit of our lips. That is, where we are in the lips, at the end, we want to be whole with fruits, where fruits means fertilization and multiplication with good deeds. According to the above, we can understand what our sages said, great is repentance, for it reaches unto the throne of honor. That is, those people who belong to the general public do not feel that they have failures in their iniquity, called the first iniquity, since they feel that they have faith and they are fine. Although they only have partial faith, as is explained in the introduction to the study of Tess, they do not feel it. For this reason, they think that they are complete. Conversely, those who belong to the individuals, who want there to be only one authority, the singular authority, who want to annul their self-authority called will to receive, and to have only the authority of the Creator revealed in the world, they feel how the body objects to this. They want to repent, to return to the Creator. And this repentance reaches unto the throne of honor. However, we should understand the meaning of the throne of honor in the work. It is known that Malchut is called the throne of honor, as it is written in the introduction to the book of Zohar. There are two discernments in the throne. One, covering the king, as it is written, he made darkness his hiding place, for which it is called kiseh, chair or throne in Hebrew, from the word kisui, covering or hiding. Two, she reveals the glory of Malchut in the worlds, as it is written, and on the kiseh, throne, was a figure with the appearance of a man. The thing is that we must believe that the tzimtzum, restriction, and concealment that took place are a correction for the created beings. In other words, specifically by the concealment and covering that were made, the created beings will achieve their completion. We must believe above reason that the guidance by which the Creator leads the world is one of good and doing good. The reason we do not see that the guidance of good and doing good is concealed from us, we must believe that, in truth, the guidance truly is of good and doing good. But there is a cover on this, which covers it. Although the body objects to this, and to believing above reason, for it claims the judge has only what his eyes see, the person wants to overcome the arguments of the body. This is hard work and comprises ascents and descents. When a person cries out to the Creator to help him be able to take upon himself this covering, meaning to be able to believe that providence really is in the manner of good and doing good, however, he still has not been rewarded with seeing it, through this work, he becomes a chariot to the throne. In other words, he takes upon himself this throne, although it is truly a concealment. At that time, that chair, kiseh, becomes the throne, meaning he is rewarded with the Shekhinah sitting on the throne. It follows that to the extent that previously he was in the form of a kiseh, which is concealment, when he was as Shekhinah, divinity in the dust, now it has become the throne of honor. This is the meaning of the saying that the throne covers the king, as in he made darkness his hiding place. In other words, the throne does not shine and is in a state of darkness. We must overcome the darkness and say, they have eyes, but they will not see. It follows that in the period of kiseh, that state is called, for you have failed in your iniquity. In the state of kiseh, a person has ascents and descents, and he does not see that this work will ever end. Rather, it is a perpetual to and fro, since during the concealment, it is difficult for a person to overcome and say that the Creator behaves in a manner of good and doing good. Therefore, that person must repent, meaning that from the kiseh, which is He made darkness His hiding place, the second state of the Kiseh will appear when it reveals the glory of Malchut in the world. As it is written, and on the Kiseh throne high up was a figure with the appearance of a man. This is the meaning of the words, great is repentance, for it reaches unto the throne. That is, repentance must be that a person must be rewarded with the second discernment in the meaning of Kiseh, which is the throne. This is the meaning of return, O Israel, unto the Lord your God. We should interpret that the meaning of you have failed in your iniquity is that when a person wants to repent, meaning he is separated from the Creator because of the will to receive, which is opposite in form from the Creator, and he wants to connect with the Creator to have equivalence of form. He sees that the concealed things belong to the Lord your God. In other words, when he wants to do something for the Creator, for the sake of the Creator, it is a hidden taste. In other words, the flavor of the work is hidden from him. Conversely, when he works for his own benefit, called for us and for our children, the flavor is revealed to us. In other words, concealed and revealed pertain to the taste. This means that when a person works for the sake of the Creator, called to the Lord your God, the taste in work is concealed. But when it is for one's own sake, called for us and for our children, the taste is called revealed, meaning the taste of the work is revealed. It follows that these causes are failures, as it is written, for you have failed in your iniquity. Hence, there is no other way but to return to the Creator. As was said about it, remove all iniquity and take good. According to the above, we should interpret what is written in the blessing for the food. May we find grace and good understanding in the eyes of God and men. We should understand why we must ask the Creator to be liked by people. What does it mean that people should respect us and honor us? What does this have to do with the work? Rather, we ask the Creator to be liked by the Creator. And what do we want from Him? To give us the quality of Adam, man. Since by nature, man was created with a will to receive, called Malchut, which is the name Bon, which is beast in Gematria, numerology. For this reason, we ask to be liked by God, so He will give us the quality of Adam. As our sages said, you are called man and not the nations of the world. Man is Ma in Gematria, which is the giver. In other words, we ask to be liked by the Creator, so He will give us the quality of man. This is the meaning of the words, may we find grace in the eyes of God and men, so He will give us the quality of men. It follows that men should pray for only one thing, for the Creator to bring him closer. Closeness in spirituality is called equivalence of form. That is, he wants the Creator to give him the will to bestow, called second nature. By this we should interpret what is written, who heals the brokenhearted. We should understand what it means that the Creator heals the brokenhearted. The thing is that it is known that the essence of man is the heart. As our sages said, the merciful one wants the heart. The heart is the kli that receives the kedusha from above. It is as we learn about the shattering of the vessels, that if the kli is broken, everything you put in it will spill out. Likewise, if the heart is broken, meaning the will to receive controls the heart, abundance cannot enter there, because everything that the will to receive receives will go to the klipot, shells. This is called the breaking of the heart. Hence, a person prays to the Creator and says, you must help me because I am worse than everyone. since I feel that the will to receive controls my heart. And this is why nothing of Kedusha can enter my heart. I want no luxuries, only to be able to do something for the sake of the Creator. And I am utterly incapable of this, so only you can save me. By this, we should interpret what is written, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. That is, those people who ask the Creator to help them, so their heart will not be broken and will be whole. This can happen only if a person has been rewarded with the will to bestow. For this reason, he asks the Creator to give him the will to bestow, since he sees that he lacks nothing in the world but the ability to work for the sake of the Creator. It follows that he is asking only the nearness of the Creator, and there is a rule, measure for measure. Hence the Creator brings him closer. This is the meaning of the words, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. According to the above, we can understand what is written there, keeps all his bones, not one of them broken. Man's bone, in Hebrew etzem, which is bone in essence, is the heart, the desire in the heart. The desires in man's heart constantly change through ascents and descents, and the Creator guards their desires so that the will to receive will not mingle into the desires of Kedusha. This is the meaning of the words, not one of them broken. In other words, since the will to receive causes the breaking of the vessels, when the Creator keeps him, meaning brings a person closer, called equivalence of form, by giving him a second nature called will to bestow, this is regarded as the Creator keeping, as in the verse, the Lord keeps the fools. In other words, one who feels that he is a fool, that he is mindless, should keep himself from falling under the control of the Sitra Achra, called the will to receive for oneself. He asks the Creator to keep him. It follows that the person gives the awakening from below, which is called a desire and a kli, and then the Creator gives him the light. But when a person is in an ascent, he thinks that he no longer needs the Creator's help, since now he has a basis of feeling, which he calls knowledge. In other words, now he knows for what purpose he's working. His work is no longer above reason, because he has a basis to rely on, meaning this feeling that he feels that this state is good for him. On this basis, he determines the work. At that time, he's immediately thrown from above, and it is as though he is asked, where is your wisdom? You said that you already know on what the work relies. Thus, as long as one thinks of himself as a fool, meaning that the basis of the work is above reason, and that he needs the help of the Creator, the person says, unless the Lord builds the house, they who labor in it worked in vain. Specifically, in this way, the Creator is called the Lord is the keeper of Israel. By this, we understand what it means that a person is in trouble in the work. The answer is that it is known that narrow means lack of chassadim. Hence, when a person sees that he cannot do anything in order to bestow, this is considered being unable to act in chesed, unless for his own benefit. He sees that in the state that he is in, he will never be rewarded with dvekut with the Creator, and he regrets it. What can he do? One cannot do anything but cry out to the Creator, and the Creator hears. From all their troubles, also narrowness, meaning from every state, when he is in a state of narrowness, meaning lack of chassadim, when he cannot overcome his actions, the Creator saves him, As it is written, from all of their troubles, he saves them. When it is written, he has no troubles, it means that he does not regret that he cannot do something in order to bestow. Therefore, he has no plea for the Creator to save him, because he feels that he is fine where he is. Accordingly, we should interpret what our sages said. Anyone who teaches an unworthy disciple falls to hell. We should understand this, since it is written, the Creator said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. Thus, one who has the evil inclination cannot overcome it. He says, I have created the Torah as a spice. So we see that we should learn Torah even when we are unworthy. We should interpret this, as Baal HaSulam said about what is written, will give wisdom to the wise. It should have said to the fools. The answer is that one who searches for wisdom, although he still does not have it, he is already called wise, since he desires to be wise. We should also interpret here that one who wants to be worthy is already called a worthy disciple. That is, one who wants to learn Torah because he wants to be worthy is already called worthy, for because he feels that he is far from serving the Creator, since he can work only for his own sake, which is being unworthy. And he wants to be worthy, but he is unsuccessful. It was said to them, the Creator said, I have created the evil inclination, I have created the Torah as a spice. For this reason, we should interpret, it is forbidden to teach the Torah to an unworthy disciple, that one who wants to be a worthy disciple may learn.
Questions throughout the whole article.
It's very complex. There are many things here, but
okay, bit by bit.
Actually, he summarizes the following sentence. He says, every person who thinks himself as a fool, that is, that the basis of his work is above reason, he then needs the help of the Creator. Then the person says, if the Lord will not build a house, those who worked on him will work in vain. He is actually called the keeper of Israel in that state.
A fool here means something different from what we're used to in life. Right, there's this kids song that, you know, they say, fool believes every person, something.
So he has to give up his entire understanding, his wisdom, forget everything that he knows so far, put it aside, right? So what does he work with then?
Yeah, what's the problem?
What is the basis of his work? What, he just takes his intellect and puts it aside without any thoughts, or...
We need a lot of reason in order to work above reason. An even greater reason is needed. What do you think, you are supposed to be dumb? No, don't cancel it. Being above reason means that you're even higher than your reason. It's not that I cancel it. I rather understand and feel and analyze everything, and I know it all. And I also acquire a higher system, which is a degree that is one, that is plus one. That's above reason. I don't just follow something. I know where it comes from, why, what is the inner engine, and as a result of my attainment, it forces me. On the contrary, you become less ignorant. You don't just do something in a dumb way. You look for the root of it, the reason of it. This means that you rise to a higher reason, to a greater reason. You look for where is the light, which is the mind and power of the whole creation and how it works. And you want to activate it. Basically.
The next sentence truly surprises me. He says, that is, that he will be rewarded with complete faith, otherwise he will remain in his failures. Otherwise, therefore, a person should try and do whatever he can until he will have pity. He will be pitied from above and will be given that force called the will to bestow.
Because he can't. himself attain what's not in him. That's it. A person is only given a beastly mind. So he can only develop within the system that he's got. But to a higher system, rising to a higher system, he can't do it if it's not done for him. It's a new creation. It's something new that has to be built in him.
Can you explain it to me? You always tell us it's a closed system. What do you tell us? There's no mercy there, there's no emotion, there's nothing there. You just have to do the work and receive whatever comes.
Yes.
Here I see that until he will be pitied from above, who has pity on me? Until they'll have pity on him from above.
Have mercy on him means that it's not in my power. It's not in my power to do, but it's within my power to do all the actions that will cause the action from above.
That's a sentence I need to understand better, because you say there is no mercy.
Don't you know how things happen in your life? You bang your head in the wall, you try something, and it doesn't work again and again, and you don't even know why and how, and then suddenly it opens up. Suddenly you have the mind, you have the feeling, understanding. The fog dissolves. Why? Why you don't know?
I don't know.
Right? And you never will. That's why it says, whatever you are able to do, you should do.
But what is this concept that you're telling us? You should do your work and don't think too much. What will the final result be? Always, just do your work, always. What does this sentence say then? Because
yes,
he's telling me that if they have no mercy, until they have mercy on him from above.
You have 10 conditions that if you do them, you'll advance well. Not even that, even 5 conditions, or even less.
What are these conditions?
The conditions? First of all, listen to what the great ones are telling you, as much as you can. Right? Accordingly, follow the actions in the 10 and expect mercy. What's mercy? That the state will change to what? To a higher spirituality, meaning bestowal, connection, love of others, and so forth. With respect to the Creator, in short. So there's nothing you need to do here besides fulfilling love thy friend as thyself on a degree that is suitable to you.
And then the work is easy, as he says here? It's an easy work?
Yes.
That's interesting.
Easy work because you can receive aid from the environment. The Creator sets you up within the environment. And if you want to influence them so they influence you in that mutual support, easily and quickly you can attain it all. And you're advancing by laws of nature. You can't just go off track. You can't. You will go in it. Like a donkey, even if you don't want to, you'll be beaten, and then you'll want to. And if not, you'll die like a beast, and then you'll live again with the same lishimot, and you'll have to realize them. That's it, it's laws.
That title is explosive. I mean, return, O Israel, to the way to the Lord your God. Instead of him coming to me, I have to come to him. It says, return to his all way to the Lord your God. Instead of him coming to me, making my life easier, he makes my life more bitter.
That I don't even want to hear at all.
How do I advance in the direction of return, O Israel, to the Lord your God? It's a terrible title, sentence.
To understand the system, so it's in front of your eyes, that this is a system, and I'm in it, and I can't do what I feel like. It's like all the systems in technology and everything, the system exists, you can't do anything. There's gravity, for instance. You want to rise above planet Earth, so what can you do? You have to look for the power that will be greater than gravity. What can you do? It's the same thing here. It's simple. and you're told how to find that force, how to establish it, how to amplify it. You can't do it on your own. You need a 10. And then you rise. That's it.
In summary, what is the most important point in this whole story? Everything that he wrote here, how should I summarize this whole article? This title, Return, O Israel.
The most important point is that what we consider Torah and Mitzvot means the correction of the desire by the light that reforms. That's it. And not that we need to do something with our hands and legs and mouth or by all kinds of accessories or symbols, but only the work on our desire by the light that reforms, called Torah. That's it. There's nothing else. More questions besides him? Yeah.
Denise is asking, what is the state of lowliness in the work?
Lowliness, or in general, everything, anything in spirituality, has several interpretations and discernments. Lowliness means that a person feels lowly. Lowliness could be positive or negative. Lowliness, if a person identifies his desire, his nature as a will to receive, that is lowly because it works only according to pleasure and suffering, and it can't be above it, meaning that the mind also works together with the desire in order to run away from evil and move to good, like a beast, or it doesn't want. Besides the beastly mind and feeling that it has, it also wants to acquire the human mind of Adam. Adam means dome, similar to the Creator. So the actions he wants to do are not in order to fill up his will to receive, but in order to resemble the Creator. And it's a totally different existence. And then he begins to feel a different reality. He begins to discover the network of forces, of bestowal, rather than reception. And that means that he enters the system of connection between people through the ten, and through that he discovers all of the interconnections in reality. And it's literally a network. It's a whole, true, eternal network that only works by the principle of mutual bestowal. And that network is called the Blessed Be He, or the Creator. That's it. That's the difference. And then a person wants to belong to that network.
Mantas from Baltia is asking, what does it mean to feel a taste in the work?
Feel taste in the work means to feel taste in bestowal. That comes from above. There is literally no way for a person to change in that regard, only to assist the change, but not to change himself. A light comes from above, something comes, and then a person begins to feel that he has this affinity towards bestowal. He doesn't like it by himself. He understands, he's aware that he doesn't want to connect, he doesn't want to bestow. But he discovers that there is this spiritual upper network that works specifically this way. And then bit by bit, as he begins to recognize it, even before it becomes practically discovered, but through these inner discernments, these sensations, it's not yet a revelation. And he begins to appreciate it more and more. He begins to relate a specific force and quality and uniqueness to it, and a sort of universality to it. And it realizes that it's the network that is higher than this world, and it encompasses this world, the human world, and it runs everything. And he somehow needs to relate himself to it. Yes. This is called Return, O Israel, unto the Lord your God. That network is the Lord your God.
He keeps asking, what does it mean that a person's efforts are in vain?
Effort what?
The efforts are in vain.
In vain? If a person... Basically, there's no such thing that the efforts are in vain. Anything, everything always has the beginning, middle, end, and everything eventually comes together. But if it comes together not in the right, true way, which follows the trajectory of the general development from the beginning to the end of creation, then it means that one's efforts are in vain because they don't advance him in the same direction of the thought of creation, but seemingly the other way around or sideways, but he still learns from it. So, whatever you are able, you should do. And from the efforts, the mind will also come. It will be corrected. Okay? Yes.
Good morning, Rav. I was a bit lost in this whole thing. It's like walking in a forest and getting lost.
Why? Just learn from one passage to another. I understand that perhaps you can't see the totality of the article and the thought of the author and how he puts you through all these different intricacies and so on. You can't see that. So go passage by passage. Like, say, half a page, and then you see, okay, I got that. Okay, and this part I didn't really get. But it's okay. The next one I can get. And that's how it is. Because the article consists of several parts which are seemingly unrelated.
He writes here, by this we should explain what our sages said. Anyone who teaches a student who is unworthy falls to hell. To fall into hell means to fall into the will to receive?
Yes. Next.
Thank you.
That's it? Yes, Amnon Saba.
Rav, there is a long passage here that talks about the throne in terms of, or kisei, in terms of covering and concealing.
Yes.
So the question is, who is hiding from whom? The Creator is hiding himself from us. We have eyes but do not see.
Surely the beginning is always in him. But the fact that he gave a hard and fast rule, and we can identify the spiritual system, the system of bestowal, the mutual connection called love, that we can identify it according to our qualities, then what can you do? Eventually, we are broken and we can't see, but afterwards, when we receive the method of correction, and instead of correcting ourselves, we insist and don't want to correct ourselves and set these conditions. I want the Creator to do this and this and that. So, turns out that we are guilty and not him. If we use all the means that He's giving to us, then we advance, as it's called, by hastening time. Quickly, beautifully, each time from one state, one good state to another. But if I don't accept the conditions and seemingly going against, not heeding the advice of the Kabbalists, then it's a problem. You can say, what can I do if He gave me this nature? True, He did give you this nature, that you're lazy and stubborn and lying and all those things. Sure, He gave it to you. It's not up to you. But you have to use the means that He gave you to correct it.
So on whose side should the revelation come at the end of it? If the Creator is brings the concealment, from whose side should the revelation come?
From whose side?
Yes, will He be revealed to us, or will we discover Him, kind of take off that screen from our eyes?
According to the law of equivalence of form. You understand what's the law of equivalence of form?
Yes, I do.
So who needs to change to come
person,
to equivalence?
Obviously.
Okay, how does He change?
By changing his own nature from a will to receive to a will to bestow.
Who changes his nature?
The reforming light.
Which is the Creator.
The Creator.
So it's the man or the Creator.
It's a combination.
A combination, okay, right, you said it right. It's a combination. Exactly. So you have to be in constant communication with him. Be a partner.
Thank you.
Okay.
Ken.
Yes.
Rav, regarding return to the Lord your God, this is the matter of half the shekel. We need to put in half the shekel and the Creator completes it. But here it sounds as return of Israel unto the Lord your God, that we do all the work all the way to the end.
Doing the full action to the end of it is your half a shekel. That's the half a shekel that the light comes and corrects. But showing the desire for it, the inclination, the prayer, the submission, and all that, you have to do that.
So the efforts from my side are all the way to the end, then the Creator comes.
That's what's called half.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, yes.
Rav, it says here, on page 1794, by this we can understand what it says, take with you words. That is, those words that the body speaks to you and it says that it's not worthwhile to work for the sake of the Creator. Take these words and return to the Lord. What does it mean? To take the words. To take these words to the Lord. The words that specifically disagree.
Yeah. With what you disagree, you have to approach the Creator, and He will give an answer to all those things. Meaning things like disagreement, the reluctance, all those things, you have to evoke them and demand correction for them. Without evoking the negative things, you won't receive an answer for them, and you won't clarify the system of your connection with the Creator. Okay?
He writes that a person should pray for only one thing, that the Creator will give him the will to bestow.
Yeah.
What is the will to bestow?
What is the will to bestow? It's when I accept, receive the desire of others, which could be a friend or the Creator, anything outside of me, other than me. And I accept their desire as higher, greater, more important, more necessary than my own. This is called make your will as his will. And then I work for his will. I want to serve him, fulfill him. What does he want? like bestowing to him, like the host and the guest. I'm willing. In order to do that, I have to make him greater in my eyes. I have to do so and so actions. I have to relate to him. What's him? He's in the middle of my tent. So I have to connect with the friends for this and so forth. This is called make your will as his will.
So the will to bestow means to feel the desires of others or the Creator's desire. It's a feeling which is outside of me. How should I depict it?
The will to bestow means to feel the desire of others that necessitates you to make actions to fulfill it.
And seemingly my whole life is in the desires of others?
Yes.
This is what I have to ask for, to feel the others' desires?
To feel and then to fulfill it. Because through fulfilling the desire of others, you fulfill the Creator's will. The Creator doesn't have a desire of his own, a lack of his own. He doesn't. He's whole. What does he give you then? He shattered the whole of creation to allow you to bestow to all of it. And by that you bestow upon him. And by that you resemble him. You make yourself similar to him, like he bestows to them. You discover that, bit by bit. Like he bestows to others, you bestow to others. And that means you're connecting with divinity.
Is there some exercise, or are there any exercises we can do in order to truly get out of my desire and feel the friend's desire, but truly, so that I can say that...
You have a 10. What are you asking? What is the work if in the 10, if not that? I used to be on my own, right? Then, suddenly, I was divided to 10 pieces, 9 of which I now feel as foreign to me. And I once more need to bring these 10 to be 1. So I have to work in relating to these 9 other pieces as I relate to myself. So I have the example of how to relate to them as I relate to myself.
The problem is that I test, check their desire, that I want to serve their desire, and it's constantly ending up being my desire. I feel myself all the time.
The way you understand what's good for them, do that. What's good for them? Why are you emotionally disconnected from them? To think about this in a simple way. What's good for them is if I take them to the goal of creation, that they'll connect with the Creator, that the Creator will fulfill them. I have no sense of it. I don't want it. But I can think about it with a cold mind. That's what I need to do for them. Okay, do what? Have them filled by the light of the Creator, and the Creator enjoys them. That's what I need to cause. What do I need to do to make that happen? And so here, I can actually work in a way that is definitely against my desire. I don't feel like doing that, but I can understand that system. And I can begin to somehow work with it like I work with a machine. Right? Like you, you're a doctor. You look at the patient and you check all kinds of parameters, do all sorts of things, cut some things in him put some injections in him. You don't treat him, you treat his disease that you have to remove. That's it. Same with us, devoid of emotion towards the friends, on the one hand. On the other hand, we can examine them from within our structure, from our mind and heart. Meaning I can understand the other, but it's not like I'm emotionally tied to him. Why not? To bring him to the corrected state. With your kids, you don't relate to them like that, you know, either yes or no. With the friends, you can do it. That's actually good. Because you learn the system, and then you enter the connection with them only according to the force of bestowal you want to appear between you. That's excellent. Okay. That's it? Yes.
Good morning. There is an excerpt here that I didn't understand. This means that at the time that a person is working for the benefit of the Creator, it is considered for the Lord our God, then the taste in the work is hidden, which is not so for his own benefit, which is called for us and for our children, then the flavor is revealed. Then the taste in the work is revealed. Can you explain that to me?
In our work, there is a hidden part and a revealed part. After we work in the part that's hidden to us, what can you do? It's hidden. It's all a question of whether I can identify it or not through equivalence of form, spiritual forces. So, capable or incapable depends on my inner correction. I'm in the whole system, in the entire system, but I'm hiding it. Or that I reveal it, depending on my corrected or broken qualities. That's how it works.
He says, when did Rabash write this? Did he write this on notes, or did he write that?
No, you have a date on it.
He brought it off himself. He didn't take it from his father, right?
No, this is the writings of Rabash. You see, when he wrote it, it was in his last year.
Well, I'm asking, he writes here, this is something I noticed just now. He says it turns out that those people who belong to the general public, when they engage in the Torah, they cannot feel that they have iniquities and that they're worse than other people. In general, they're happy with their own work. He's actually talking about people who...
There's the Torah of the majority, the collective, and the Torah of the individuals in particular.
He's talking about his environment, about Bnei Brak, about people who are doing the work, but they're not doing the work they should be doing.
That's how they were educated. What can you do? They're not guilty. You can't say the Creator must come to them and demand from them and punish them and do something. No, they're in His hands. They are in His hands, and He doesn't want to change them. You can't go to them, whether it's secular or religious people, and tell them you're doing it all wrong. No, you can't. Because that's what they get, and what they get is from above. And if a person receives his own Torah and teaching, whether it's a secular one or a religious one, that's it, and that's how they live. Why is it your concern?
Oh, it's not my concern, but he writes, otherwise they're judged in the courthouse of above, and you know, seemingly he's not making fun of them, but he says about people that...
What is there to make fun of? About the work of the Creator? It's eventually the work of the Creator.
But they're not doing the work they should be doing.
He doesn't let them.
Why doesn't he let them?
What else do they know they have to do?
Exactly, they don't know. They don't know.
So they're guilty? So what's to make fun of here? Are you making fun of children who don't know how to write? If they're 2 years old, let's say? No. So how? I don't know. I look at people outside. I don't know. They have their own should be respected. Well, you also, half of your life, you went through it the way you were, and now you're different. What's the difference? The Creator begins to awaken you. That's it, to awaken you a little bit. And then accordingly, there's a demand from you. When can you begin to demand something from a person? When he begins to think about what is the point in life. And it's the question that awakens from above.
I have a question. A Kabbalist, shouldn't he say to his environment, I'm offering you to come learn about the truth. How can you shut...
Wait. Who are you talking about?
What you're doing is great. Rabash is so great. I don't want to attack anybody, but a Kabbalist who knows the truth, so how can he...
Trust the Kabbalist that he knows what to do and how to relate to all the audiences. It's not a problem. You see what Baal HaSulam is writing at the end of the introduction to the Book of Zohar. You, through your spiritual work, as you do it correctly, in a, let's say, a subground, underground way, unidentified way, you're awakening the others because you're in one system with them. All of humanity is one system called Adam. You will work like you should. And through your work, as you also intend to for them, because you want to bring contentment to the Creator, so you want to bring everyone closer, and you're working for everyone. What is this that you're coming to them and what? You're blaming them, yelling at them, saying some kind of disparaging words?
So you're saying don't go in a frontal, direct work towards them.
No, of course not. This is called don't put an obstacle before a blind man.
So that's what I don't understand when you're saying it. What? Shouldn't I tell them the truth? Sometimes I choke when I see people what they're doing, and I just sit there like an idiot.
No. You can explain to them, but according to their level, like the children, don't relate to them as being great. They could appear that way, but according to their spiritual development, they're very small. They could be professors in the university, and they can be regular laborers, and from all the nations of the world in Israel, and they don't understand what happened and what's happening to them. They don't understand. So how can you come to them and relate to them any other way than you relate to a child, a baby? That's why you need to start with dissemination in a broad manner, with articles and all kinds, even with songs, doesn't matter with what, in such a way that they will understand where they stand and where it's worthwhile for them to be, so that their life will be better according to their understanding. That's it. So what do I need to say? Guys, now it's a little worse. Do you want things to be better? I think that this and that, if we do, it'll be better. That's it. And I explain to them, what do you want? You want more vacation, more earnings, more peace in your family, all kinds of things. That can be attained. I'm telling you, let's try to see how. And explain to them if I'm capable of explaining. If I'm not capable, shut up. That's it.
So it just depends on me, not on the Creator either.
First of all, it depends on your work, on yourself, within the audience, which is called Yashar Kel. And from that, you bestow influence upon them. That's called underground internal. Other than that, you can present to them something that, a book, a movie, all kinds of things, that will influence them. But according to what? According to you turning to their will to receive, for them to open and want.
So where is the Creator working here, actually, in this whole story?
I don't know.
But just me?
That only the Creator have to do the work? Created to do. only you. That's it. It's enough. Moscow.
How can we honestly ask for the friends when you don't want it?
The fact that we don't want to ask for the friends, that we need to scrutinize, and it needs to stand out in us, not cover it up or putty over it. I understand that there is no friend I don't care about in that group, and if I'm reminded it by them, I'm doing in some kind of effort to do so through exertion. As there's no choice, first of all, I'm thinking about myself all the time. All of a sudden, I'm reminded, oh, there's a group. I need to think about them. Is it that way or not? Gershon. Yes. What do we do? We repeat this several times, and we think, why am I not in this? And the system, which is the group, is actually the real spiritual system, and less than my 10, there's no point of thinking because I'm not bestowing upon my fate. I'm thinking egoistically, I'm not influencing my fate. But if I think of less than the 10, I'm advancing, but in the path of suffering, in the way of in due time, Beito, and I want to advance fast, and in the way of Achishena, in haste. So what do? I need to return to think of the 10. Where in me, instead of the Creator, will cause all the good for them. And what's the Creator for? To ask from Him to cause all the good for them. And they are on my target. I want them. I must bring them, even though I don't want, but I seemingly want to bring them to the end of correction. That's it. That's first of all. And the Creator? I and the Creator work together in order to sort the whole 10, and the whole world is there, everyone is there, there is nothing but the 10. And that's how I work. And of course, I think about it maybe once or twice or three times a day, but it's important for me, also once or twice a day. And when I return to this, and all of a sudden receive kind of like an electric shock from within, oh, which is, now I'm thinking about the 10. So I need to thank the Creator for that, for giving me that reminder. And when and bringing me back to the right thought, and like that, each time, more and more. Until I really depict in me this system that I'm in all the time. Whether I like it or not. And that's how everyone is. Only they're not aware of it. And I am. I'm becoming more and more aware of it.